You ready for a regime change, Keith?
Whoa! I am ready. I've been ready, actually. Now, it doesn't mean I wasn't surprised.
I was a little surprised.
Same. Surprised that it happened and then shocked at the timing that it happened. Put all that together. That was pretty wild.
It was.
Anytime you have like a nice statement in like that, I don't even know how to do that. Do you have a guy that comes up with like a written statement? That's not Notes app.
It's Microsoft Paint, I think. Is it Paint?
MS Paint? So they went into Paint and they had that thing ready to go. People, the handful of people that went to the game are in their cars on Route 1, and they got the guy in the passenger seat checking Twitter and be like, oh, coach got fired. Like, that was pretty, the timing of it was wild.
Crazy. And so, look, am I shocked that Mayo's gone? Not really. I said last week I expected Kraft to keep him because I thought he would buckle and he wouldn't do what was right, and I just don't trust him. I don't think he deserves the benefit of the doubt. But it wasn't off our radar. We've been talking about it for weeks and weeks.
Right.
I was very surprised at the timing.
It's like usually it's they call it Black Monday in the NFL for a reason, because usually teams lose their final game or whatever it is. They won it, but we'll get into that. And then you wake up the next day, you have a chance to have a snooze on it, right? One sleep on it, have a meeting, maybe you talk about it. And then Monday morning, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars fire Doug Peterson. You're like, okay. Like, this was as close to an in-season firing as you can have without it technically being an in-season firing.
Yeah.
He coached the 17 games and then immediately was done.
Well, and the timing tells you, because people are like, oh, he won the game, so they fired him.
No, he was out.
No. Schefter said before the game, you'll hear it later on Jones and Keefe today, but Schefter said before the game, leaning to out, that meant Mayo was gone.
No, they were cooking up that MS Paint graphic. You kidding me? They couldn't have done that
exactly
after.
I told you on Friday, Mike Reese put the hit out. I should have known. I should have just been like, well, Reese wouldn't write this if he wasn't a guard.
Sure. Well, you were all around it.
I thought he had an inkling.
You were circling it.
I thought he had an inkling. It was done then. It was probably done then.
Yeah.
And Mayo probably knew he was done. And to have the whole statement ready to go with the graphic an hour after the game, yeah, they knew. But I'm still surprised when Terp texted us yesterday. He's like, Mayo gone? I thought it was his opinion. I had to check social media and go, he's out?
We were all bitching on the group chat about not having the number one pick. And then so then Terp, a couple minutes later, is like, Mayo's gone. I'm like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, no kidding, Terp.
Like, yeah,
oh, hot take, Terp.
And then I go to Twitter. I'm like, oh, in fact, he is out already. I'm like, the dust hasn't even settled on the postgame shows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's already gone. That was pretty wild. I kept going back to their relationship. I thought that relationship would save him. Not anything he did on the field. You know, they won four games. Not good enough. The team was not getting better. I know they won yesterday, but like they played the second, third string of the Bills. So they weren't getting better. We don't really know what his thing is that he does well. He steps in, he puts his foot in his mouth all the time. He's always having to correct himself. So like for all those reasons, it shouldn't be surprised that he was one and done. But you go back to, you know, 1 year ago, give or take, the Thunder Buddies press conference that they had, I thought that gave him all the job security in the world. I thought they would get rid of everybody around him first, but it just got so bad.
It's the opposite.
That got so bad.
They made a point of firing him and everybody else as of now, if you haven't heard, Wolf, Van Pelt, Covington. As of right now, they're all still employed by the team.
Thundercat.
Yeah, Young Thundercat. Who's Young Thundercat? Robert?
Yes.
Not okay. You think Mayo would be Young Thundercat?
Yeah, or maybe maybe Robert's Thundercat and Jonathan's Young Thundercat.
Well, I am all ears at 1 o'clock today, and we'll have it Robert Kraft's press conference, because we were wondering, all right, what do? You're in this situation as the year's playing out. What's worse, firing the guy that you compared to picking your wives, firing that guy after 1 year, or doubling down on it and not firing the guy?
Doubling down would have been
worse. That's worse. I think overall the fans are pissed. I'll speak for the fans. I am the voice of the fans. We're pissed the way the season has gone. But at this point, after these moves have been made, what was the next best step? It was to move on from Mayo, and that's what they did.
This is absolutely the right move. Shaughnessy wrote a good column today. I mean, Shaughnessy was basically like, don't feel bad for Mayo. Mayo's going to get an assistant job somewhere. He'll work in media.
Well, he gets his contract. It's NFL. Like, he'll get his contract. He's getting millions of dollars.
Mayo's going to be fine. He's going to be fine, and he was terrible at this job. Now, there's blame that goes higher. Wolf is part of it. The Crafts are part of it. And we'll get into all of it today on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Lots of ways you can get in touch. You're already lining up. 617-779-7937. That's the text line as well. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram @Jones and Keefe. Watch along. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Always a nice, healthy conversation going on
there. Get in there.
And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. So a lot of ways you can watch. We'll discuss Mayo's firing. Do you think the result yesterday had anything to do with it? Oh, by the way, what'd you think of the result yesterday? Screwing up the number one pick. What do the Patriots do now that they're at pick number four? And who's replacing Jerod Mayo? We have an update on that right now. Tommy Curran. A couple of tweets. He said, from what I've learned on the Patriots coaching move, the last four games were untenable. This move wasn't anticipated. Disorganization became too much to take. It is safe to presume Vrabel is the number one candidate. Anticipate personnel department getting more time to right the ship and fix the roster. Yikes. So he thinks Wolf is going to be around, Keith? Good news. Good news for the Wolfpack.
Get the Wolfpack going. He did such a great job this year. Watching that offensive line just hold every time and or get out of the way every time was a thrill. They really have two options, it feels like, especially the tackles.
Yeah.
It's like, do we want to commit a penalty or just not touch anybody?
Yeah, get the quarterback killed or go back 10 yards.
So Elliot Wolf should have his job because he drafted Jalen Polk. And did you see his comments, too? And he's like, wow, I thought he was going to be like plug and play.
Oh, we'll get to that.
We'll get to his comments. For
it was such plug and play. It was such a shot at Mayo. It wasn't funny.
It was over the top. But outside of Drake May, who anybody in the world would have drafted at 3 overall, you botch the draft. Your free agency is a disaster. And yet, yeah, you're coming back.
Okay.
Great.
So that current saying, he expects them to get more time. That's different than Callahan and Phil Perry and Mark Daniels, who are basically saying, yeah, none of these guys have been fired yet.
But what's weird, is a lot of times... Go ahead. Keep reading.
Here's the other update. Somebody tweeted to Curran, is Vrabel a lock? Okay? Michael on Twitter.
Is Vrabel a lock? Good question, Michael.
Curran, who we'll talk to tomorrow, that would be way, way, way too presumptuous to assume right now.
I think he's a lock.
You think he's a lock?
Yeah. If you were to take Mike Vrabel or the field to be the head coach of the Patriots next year, who
would
you take?
I would take Vrabel, but Curran's saying that's presumptuous.
Well, I mean, that's what he's saying. He's not, you gotta let the process play out. I think what they need to do.
So he's doing ownership, Robert and Jonathan a favor, saying nothing's a done deal. It's not a lock.
Saw how bad one sham process went. Even though this guy does have NFL head coaching experience, I don't think you want back-to-back sham interview processes.
No.
At least interview a bunch of people. Even if you're going to end up hiring Vrabel anyway, why not at least invite Ben Johnson to an interview? Maybe he turns you down, but invite Ben Johnson. Invite Liam Cohen. No,
they
maybe
should interview
Marcus Freeman, for God's sakes.
They should interview Ben Johnson this week. Yeah. He's available for remote interviews because he has a bye week. Same thing for all the Chiefs assistant coaches. They better interview Ben Johnson.
That's what I'm saying.
And good. Go ahead. Talk to Mike Vrabel. That's fine. They better do a real process. I don't think they're going to. I'm with you, Keith.
It's Vrabel.
I think it's Vrabel.
Yeah.
Which I don't love. It's an improvement over Mayo. I'll take it. But I don't love it. They should do a real process because not going through a process is what got you in this mess in the first place.
I think what's tricky, and we talk about this in all sports, is just that relationship between the GM and the coach or the president of baseball operations and the manager. Like, who hired who? Who was there first? We've seen it here with the Red Sox where it's weird, where it's like the owner hired Cora, but like I don't think Bloom or Breslow necessarily wanted Cora, and then that relationship ends up being weird. And so if Mike Vrabel comes in, and one of the reasons he was out in Tennessee and why it went south in Tennessee was what was going on with John Robinson, who was the GM down there. So if he comes in and Kraft is like, hey, we're thrilled to have you be the head coach, but you know that Elliot Wolf's calling the shots, how's that gonna go? Is that gonna be a short shelf life, or do you want to just kind of blow it all up and have Vrabel in there with somebody he has a better relationship with right from Jump Street? But, I mean, we can get to that. They haven't hired him yet, but it does feel like it's going to happen.
So you can jump in again. Mike Vrabel, is he the no-brainer guy? Do you think it's a done deal? How do you feel about Mike Vrabel replacing Jerod Mayo? And did they make the right call by firing Jerod Mayo? I think I know the answer for most of you out there. I will take your phone calls all day long. 617-779-7937. As Keith mentioned, Robert Kraft will be speaking to the media today at 1 o'clock live from Gillette Stadium. You're going to hear it here on WEEI. So keep it locked in all day long. You can listen here or on the Odyssey app as well. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. I think we agree on this, but let's talk through it. The result yesterday, Keith.
Oh, awful.
How much of that had to do with Jerod Mayo getting fired? How much of the way they played it was Jerod Mayo knowing he was going to get fired in FU Lovie Smith style? Like, all of that factoring in with yesterday's news that Jerod Mayo is out. Because I agree with you, that's an awful, awful result that no one wants. People were booing every time the Patriots scored.
So that's why I blame Robert Kraft for why they don't have the number one pick. I really do. I think you could have manipulated this a lot better. I think the Jerod Mayo, whether he knew for a fact or at least just had a sense about it that he wasn't going to come back, what does he want the number one pick for? What do any of those guys want the number one pick for? We know the players don't. That's obvious. First of all, you're talking about guys that might not be here, and or guys who are here, do they really want players maybe at their position to come in and take their job?
No.
No player would ever want the pick. Coaches would only want the pick if they knew they were going to be here. Otherwise, they're trying to have the best record they can have, the best performances, the best tape, and all that other stuff. So I think Mayo had a good sense that he wasn't going to be there. The one fly in the ointment is they did pull Drake May after a series. But even regardless, you saw all these teams around the league that were just throwing games. You saw one on the other side of the field on Sunday.
It was so bad.
The Buffalo Bills lost the game more than you could lose the game. So they should have been able to manipulate it. And honestly, because they knew they were going to fire him right after the game, they should have fired him before the game. They should have put anybody, grab like Matthew Slater or somebody that's already on staff that probably will be back. Hell, our guy Jeremy Springer, be like, you're interim coach today. You're interim coach. By the way, like chuck it deep, like blitz all the time, like whatever. Like find a way to lose the game. We need you to lose the game. You can't stress how important it is or how much more of an advantage to have the number one pick versus the number four pick. It's not even as simple as like those three picks. Like what you could get for the number one pick is off the charts for a franchise that desperately needs all of those picks, potential players coming in. So yeah, that's on Kraft. You got to find a way to lose that game. We're not talking about losing a month of games or even a whole season of games. It's one Sunday afternoon. You need to lose that game.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed in that result because, look, selfishly, from a talk radio standpoint, it's fun to play out. What do they do at number one? Do they draft at number one? Do they move down? How do they handle that? Who's handling that? Who are they going to draft? All these things, right? So I think it would be fun to talk through, but it would have been best for the organization. I mean, what's best for the football team? Getting the number one pick and holding a king's ransom for whoever wants Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Drew Aller, if he comes out. That's what you do. That would have been best for the team. And so that's out the window. And I just think yesterday was so embarrassing for the league, Keith, league-wide. Teams tanking.
What a horrible, like, day.
Teams tanking, yeah. Teams, you know, going out there and playing nobody. It's another reason why a 17-game schedule and an 18-game schedule and 19 or 20 is stupid. These are extra games that are wasting our time, and you invite stuff like this. So it's all starting at the top with these owners and screwing up their own league, which used to be perfect at 16 games and 32 teams, but get ready for 36, 40 teams and teams in London and 20-game schedules.
Games.
This is what you get.
Oh, yeah.
When you try to grow your inventory, you get crap like yesterday. So that's a larger discussion, but the Bills and Patriots were just so embarrassing. I think it was a terrible day for Drake May, and not that it's his fault, but it's a terrible day for Drake May.
See a lot of them.
He plays one series, which just looks soft. Then Joe Milton goes out and lights it up on top
Bazooka
of it.
Bazooka Joe Milton.
The Patriots win another game without Drake May, even though it was a fake preseason game yesterday.
Yeah.
The Patriots are trying to lose. The Bills actually lost because they were better at taking than you are, apparently.
Joey Sly's just drilling kicks. The guy couldn't miss.
The Bills are better at football than you, and they're better at tanking than you, which makes no sense,
it's
but
wild.
They're better at both.
Yep.
And so yesterday was just an embarrassment for the league, but the Patriots butchered that. All of that said, I don't think that's why Mayo's out of a job. I think he had already coached his way out based on the result against the Chargers. I feel that way in retrospect. I didn't feel that way in real time. But I think it's clear looking back on it, that's when he lost the job, how they played against the Chargers, fans booing, fans saying fire Mayo, the way the players carried themselves
players
last week.
Players telling fans to know their place.
Not knowing what to do with Ramondre Stevenson to start last week's game.
He didn't start Sunday.
Didn't start yesterday. That's they didn't start Tavai yesterday either. Yeah. The Keon White comment, like all of it, I think he was fired. I don't think it was because of the result. But make no mistake, they screwed that up. That was a disaster yesterday.
Yeah.
And that is going to... I mean, I hope not, but that's going to haunt them, I think, for a long period of time. At least they got the Mayo thing right. In the end, they got it wrong when they hired him.
They screwed up the draft pick, and it's insane. Like, what – you can go back in the history of it. When teams have traded the number one pick, what you get for that versus anything lower, really. So you could have had, what, two ones, two twos, and a player? Like, you could have had some insane haul. Now – you still have to hit on those picks, and I know a lot of us have questions on whether Elliott Wolf can hit on those picks, but still, I'll take the number of shots at it, and then maybe even a player or two that's already established. Instead, you have the fourth pick in a draft that has two quarterbacks that, I don't know, may or may not be great anyway. And then after that, it's not as strong as a draft as in previous years. Just so dumb. It was right there for you, and then you win that game. And not a single fan there was happy about it. I mean, it's terrible.
If they had the number one pick and fired Mayo, today would be...
What a day.
I mean, you would feel great organizationally. It is a little bit
glitter
hedged.
It'd be a glitter guns kind of day.
Keith, it would have been a glitter guns day if they had the number one pick, but unfortunately...
Sad.
They couldn't even get that done. I went to the Party City. I made sure we had plenty of glitter guns ready to go.
Business.
Yeah.
Well, on Friday, before we got off the show on Friday, we both were like, I kind of am nervous that they're going to win this game.
My buddy's a Bills fan. He texted me yesterday. He's like, I just picked the Patriots to win. He's like, the Bills are playing nobody. They don't want to win.
Josh Allen took one snap and then ran off the field. And I was like, uh-oh. I kind of knew that, but I didn't realize it was going to be one snap.
No, I thought it would be a series. Yeah.
And then in comes Trubisky, and then they're like, nah, even he's too good. I was like, what? You're pulling Trubisky? You don't even give Trubisky the whole game?
No, when Mike White went in, I'm like, it's all happening.
That's it.
In a bad way, it's all happening. 617-779-7937. Lottie waiting patiently there already. You can also leave your voice notes on the Odyssey app. I heard Greg playing those earlier today.
Yeah.
So you can send those in as well, AUDACY. Just click on the little microphone. You can leave a voice note there if you don't want to spar with Jones and Keith.
Yeah. You know how that's going to go.
You can also spar on the phone and text line, 617-779-7937. A lot to get to. What do you think of firing Jerod Mayo? Can you believe Kraft actually did it? Who's replacing him? Sounds like Mike Vrabel. How do you feel about that? Elliott Wolf, is he really staying? And they screwed up the number one pick. All your thoughts on yesterday's game, the travesty and debacle that was.
I would also just say quickly, Mike Vrabel looms large here. I don't see, and people who know the Crafts, don't see the Crafts moving on from Jerod Mayo just for another rookie head coach. They would move on from Jerod Mayo if they could be sure they would be upgrading. And Mike Vrabel, according to many people throughout the NFL, would represent a clear upgrade. Obviously, they have a relationship, the Crafts do, with Vrabel. Vrabel, as Tom Curran and others have said before, would certainly have interest in the job here in New England. And so if they know by back channeling or through other methods that they could have Vrabel as their head coach moving forward, I think there would be a strong possibility that they would move on from the current head coach, Jerod Mayo.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to your phone calls momentarily. 617-779-7937. That was Phil Perry yesterday before the game, before
kickoff.
That's right,
a little pregame action.
And I'll give Phil credit. Phil, late last week on Early Edition, was saying that exact thing. He was getting a sense from people he talked to in the building that there was a shift. And he said it before kickoff yesterday, there's a shift. I can't imagine they would move on from Jerod Mayo if they didn't have the replacement already lined up. He went into detail there on Mike Vrabel. That, to me, makes sense, Keith. You don't fire Mayo if you have no idea what you're doing.
Right.
I don't love that approach, but I believe that to be the case for them. I think
they knew what they were doing when they fired Belichick, and that worked out so well for them.
Yeah, I don't. I would go through a real process.
I hope so.
Really interview Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen. I mean, throw Kevin O'Connell's name out there. It's probably just a leverage
him,
play.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, but Glazer said yesterday teams are monitoring the Kevin O'Connell situation. Give that guy a call.
Definitely.
He's won 14. I mean, it looked terrible last night, but he won 14 games with Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
You love O'Connell.
I do.
So, like, go through a real process. But I believe what Phil just said. They wouldn't fire Mayo and embarrass Kraft in the way he's being embarrassed if they didn't have the next guy lined up. I agree with that. I wouldn't do that. I don't think it's the right move, but I agree that's how they're operating.
Yeah, I just feel like one sham process into another sham process is not what's best for business. Even though this guy is more of a known commodity. He coached the Titans for several years. He was a coordinator prior to that. So way more experienced than Jerod Mayo at this time last year. But still, like, open the doors up a little bit. Let's see what you have. Last year, you look at the two different processes they had for interviewing key spots. Head coach, no interviews, just Mayo. Offensive coordinator, 13 interviews land on a guy who may or may not be back, right? The reports are, like, right now he's here, but Alex Van Pelt I'm talking about. But you can't imagine that if the next head coach, Mike Vrabel or someone else, comes in and is like, I want my own offensive coordinator, then he's gone. So... yeah, this is, you know, two times in 2 years now you're going to be shuffling around and trying to interview everybody you possibly can and see what sticks.
We can also have a real discussion about Vrabel and how good he actually is.
Yeah.
You know, like, here's Mike Vrabel year over year in Tennessee. 2018, 9-7, missed the playoffs. 2019, 9-7, made the playoffs. 2020, 11-5, made the playoffs, lost in the first round. 2021, 12-win season, made the playoffs, lost in the first round. 7-10, 6-11, fired. Last year, out of coaching, he was an analyst in Cleveland. So,
I still think it's net positive for me when I look at it.
Career record, 54-45, two playoff wins. They were in the same year when they went to the AFC title game in 2019. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a slam dunk by any means.
I think he is night and day different at the press conference.
True.
If you want to say that's one of the reasons why Mayo's gone, I think Vrabel's very comfortable in who he is.
Nothing,
he can control a room.
Nothing should surprise him. Like, a lot of the jobs seem to surprise Gerard Mayo.
Everything surprised Mayo. Yeah. And then, like, the next day, he was like, oh, I didn't mean what I just said there. Whereas I don't think you get that once with Vrabel. Vrabel probably just all season long, like, yeah, I said what I said, and I mean it. Let's go to the next thing. So that is completely different. I also give him a lot of credit. I mean, that's three playoff appearances there with Tennessee. His GM obviously wasn't great, trading away A.J. Brown for nothing. Like, that screwed him. And then he worked with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. So you could argue year two of Drake May might be better than any quarterback that he had. And how many good head coaches are there that never had a good quarterback? So I would still prefer Ben Johnson. Like, that's my pipe dream. But if Mike Vrabel's who you get next year, like, depending on who his offensive coordinator is, I could certainly talk myself into that.
One thing to bring up, and you just made the point about the quarterback. Text line is making it as well. It's a fair point. 617-779-7937. Which year did Vrabel have a functional
point.
QB?
Great
That's
point.
A good point. So Vrabel has that record and made the playoffs a bunch. It was really bad his last 2 years.
Yep.
But he had that record with Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota as his quarterback. So that's not great. Fair. I'm not sure we've said this yet. I think Billy had it in trending, but I don't think we've mentioned it. That Brian Daboll is back with the Giants. So if you were hoping,
I know
Vrabel Daboll,
yeah,
that's not an option. So it's
kind of surprising the Giants are keeping him. Even though
surprising.
I think he is a good coach, and like you saw what he was able to do with Josh Allen early in his career. But they're a mess. They're
very
a better
surprising.
Pick than you.
So you said, who does Vrabel bring with him? That's important.
Yeah.
Like, who's the personnel guy? Mike Borgonzi has been with the Chiefs. I think he's a local guy. I want to say he's from Everett.
How about that?
He is interviewing with the Jets today. That's a guy who Vrabel overlap with in Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. You know, you have guys you work with in Tennessee that you could give a look to. Tommy Rees sounds like...
Tommy Rees, the Notre Dame quarterback?
Yes, he's going to come from Cleveland because they were so good on offense last year.
What?
He's going to be your offensive coordinator.
They're the only offense worse than the Patriots.
I don't... Again, it's an upgrade on Mayo.
Yeah.
I would feel better about it than Mayo. But is it a slam dunk? Do I love it? I don't. And so we'll take your thoughts on Mike Vrabel. We'll take your thoughts on firing Gerard Mayo. Sounds like Elliot Wolf is going to survive here. Curran just doubled down on that, earlier today on social media. And the number one pick, or lack thereof, as the Patriots screwed that up yesterday. We'll get to all of it here on Jones and Keefe. A reminder, Robert Kraft scheduled to talk today at 1 o'clock to the media live from Gillette Stadium. You'll hear it here on Jones and Keefe. So don't miss that. Let's start it off with Marcus in Roxbury. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
Thank you for taking the call. I got two quick points. I'm going to be real quick, man, then I got a question. One, I think Gerard Mayo should be relieved today, like done. I think we're going to find out why Tennessee ran Mike Vrabel out of Tennessee, because he got ran out of there. And also, Jones, I got a quick question for you. I wanted to know, what more do you think, because I asked you recently about the Jaden Daniels-Drake May thing, and you said that he had played better than Jaden Daniels. What more do you think Jaden Daniels could have did this year to perform better than Drake May? Thanks for taking the call. You guys are the best.
Yeah,
man.
Marcus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus.
Let me tell you, I don't think I said what he said, which is that May has outplayed Daniels. I don't think I said that. I think I would take...
You would take him. No, Daniels had the better year.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. So if I said that to him, then I misspoke. I don't remember saying that. What I believe I said was I'd take Drake May over Jaden Daniels, which I would have before the draft, and I still would today. That's all I said. Daniels clearly had a better year, and look, I think most people would take Daniels over Drake May. Did Vrabel get run out of Tennessee?
No. They went 6-11 his last year.
Kinda. He was very complimentary of the Crafts.
Oh, that's right. There was that whole thing. Remember when he got inducted into the Team Hall of Fame?
Which
there was
did
a lot
not,
of kissy-kissy. Yeah.
Which did not sit well with Amy Strunk.
Because he was saying how great the organization was. Like, he did lay it on pretty thick about what a first-class organization New England was.
And he went in the middle of their year? on a bye week. Like some off-season thing or in the preseason. No, it was right in the middle of the year. You took a trip up to New England and were complimentary of the Crafts. So that's part of it, but he probably saw the writing on the wall.
And then remember there was that weird thing where Edelman was at like a Syracuse game and they were like FaceTiming each other?
I don't. You brought this up before the show. Well, I don't remember this.
It was it Edelman and Gronk? Nick, do you remember this? It was like a big to-do, and it was all around the same time and what was going on, and then they were like FaceTiming Mike Vrabel. And you're like, what are they talking about? It was like a whole stupid
thing. Seemed like it was a done deal. He'd get the job.
Yes, yes.
No, and Vrabel clearly feuded with John Robinson over A.J. Brown. The GM in Tennessee at the time.
It was Brady and Edelman.
Oh, it was Brady and Edelman. That's what it was, not Gronk and I. It was Brady and Edelman, then they were FaceTiming in Vrabel.
Nice.
Very strange.
So, you know, I think Vrabel can rub some people the wrong way, but the Crafts are familiar with him.
Yeah.
And so that's a check, but the problem would be they were familiar with Gerard Mayo. We've said all year they need to get outside of their universe here in New England, the Bill Belichick universe. I don't think so either, but that to me would be the right approach, or at least go through a real process, an honest-to-goodness process, which none of us think they're going to do.
No, it seems like it's already going to be Vrabel. I saw Mike Giardi had another tweet. He talked to a half dozen league executives today who all believe it'll just be Vrabel to New England.
Okay, that's interesting. Yep. Again, I'll reiterate Curran. He said it'd be way, way, way too presumptuous to assume right now, but Giardi spoke to how many?
I think it was half dozen.
Half dozen.
Also known as six.
Said Vrabel's, Vrabel's a done deal.
Half dozen does make this report seem better. Like if I tell you, hey, I talked to six guys, but I was like, hey, I talked to a half dozen guys.
Talked to a half dozen.
Like, holy smokes.
It's not a baker's dozen.
No.
But a half dozen.
Half dozen guys.
It's true.
Or gals.
Barry's in New Bedford. Hello, Barry.
Yeah, Vrabel got fired from Tennessee because when they fired Robinson, Vrabel wanted to bring his own guy in for GM, and Trunk was against it, and that's what started this whole process of him getting booted. The Kraft thing had nothing to do with it. Quickly on Mayo getting fired, I think the downfall started the bye week in the Arizona game. Throwing Van Pelt under the bus, that's what started this down. And then you come out, you play a half against Buffalo, and then you get skunked by the Chargers at home, 40-7. That's what I think finally put the seal on the coffin for Mayo. As far as Vrabel goes, I think this is interesting. Vrabel has told people he wants to bring his own GM in any job he takes. So John Robinson and Mike Boragazi have interviewed for the Jets. Both those guys are tied to Vrabel. So why is Elliot Wolf still here? So something else is going on here. I know they're saying Vrabel's a done deal. Maybe it is. But it sure sounds fishy that we have not heard Vrabel being gone.
So let me
people on the staff.
Let me say, Barry, number one, I heard Phil on TV, Phil Perry, say the idea would be Wolf could stay on with the new coach. Vrabel brings in his personnel guy, and then they see if there's a fit moving forward with Wolf. He's kind of a dead man walking. So that could help explain it. My fear is they don't want to pay two head coaches and two GMs.
Yeah, could be a money thing.
So they're going to bring in the new coach. They're still paying Mayo, and they leave Wolf on for the job, which would be a mistake. But I think something like what the caller said is right. I think Barry's right. He was pretty safe until the bye week.
You said it. I didn't.
That comment, they were horrible against the Cardinals. Maybe he half saved his job in the game against the Bills. You got the Chargers game last week. I think his fate was sealed there. Here's what Curran wrote real quick on NBC Sports Boston. He said, in early December, when speculation about Mayo's job security began, a high-ranking team source was asked if the team could conceivably move on. He said, what are we talking about? Losing every game 90-0? Yeah, then I guess that would be a possibility.
Yeah.
That was the reply Curran
got. Against the Chargers.
So, if we lose every game 90-0, I guess he could lose his job. That was the tone. And it turns out he was basically fired before the game yesterday. Statements ready. They told Schefter before the game.
Yeah.
Everything. So a lot changed in December. I think Barry's roughly right about that.
If the season ended after the first Bills game, do you think he has his job?
Yeah.
He might. The Chargers game was so bad.
It was so bad.
The fact that it was at home, like it was so bad. And then, you know, Mike Vrabel kind of looming out there and then interviewing with the Jets. Like, that's obviously, to me, a huge factor. Like, I think they're sort of, you know, waiting on that part of it.
Do you have a problem with Vrabel bringing in a personnel guy?
No.
Me neither.
I think you want those guys to be in lockstep and not agree on every single thing, but you want those guys to at least be going in the same direction and not be fighting over players all the time. I think that's important in all sports. I also think the reason why Wolf, Van Pelt, Covington, every other coach is still here is, I mean, they're all under contract, and I also think you allow the next head coach to come in, and then he can even interview all those guys. And who knows? He might like a couple of them. So rather than, like, firing all of them, and then, like, say they hire Mike Vrabel, and he's like, do you think Van Pelt will coach quarterbacks? And they're like, maybe, but we fired him. It's like, well, like, what do you think so-and-so would coach safeties? Like, maybe, but we fired him. Like, I think you have to kind of wait on that.
So I misspoke earlier. I don't know that I know that I love the personnel guys Vrabel's attached to. Mike Borgonzi, though, is from Everett. I misspoke. I said they overlapped in Tennessee. I thought he spent time in Tennessee. He was in Kansas City when Vrabel was a player.
Oh.
So he's the Chiefs assistant GM. They've drafted very well over time. And so I'm much more interested in him than, you know, I don't think they'd run it back with John Robinson, but some of the other personnel guys he was attached to in Tennessee.
Robinson. No. I mean, that helped stop, you know, end things in Tennessee.
And I wouldn't want anyone from Tennessee's front office is my point.
No.
I wouldn't want that.
No.
617-779-7937. There's your number. You can also leave voice messages.
It's not the Weiner line.
A voice note on the Odyssey app. It's not the Weiner
app. Let's be clear about this.
Well, it's not the Weiner line. It is the Weiner app.
Weiner app is what it is. Yeah, get in there.
Weiner app. You can leave them there. Just click on the microphone on the Odyssey app. They were having fun with that on the Greg Hill Show. You can leave those there as well. Plus all your phone calls. Let's get more into Elliot Wolf. Is he really staying? Number one. And number two. Keith referenced these comments from Wolf earlier today. They were over the weekend. He referenced it earlier today to Fox Sports. Let's get to those Wolf comments because he clearly was throwing Mayo under the bus. We'll do it next.
We didn't see Jelani Tavai play the first quarter. Was that disciplinary for his comments?
Look, we went into the game with the plan, and we're not there and executed. So.
Right over here. What went into the decision to sit Drake May after the first series?
It was my decision, coach's decision.
What were some of the factors for Jelani's case and Drake's that led you to those decisions?
Yeah, all those things are internal, and I'd rather keep it that way.
How's Jerod Mayo yesterday on some of the in-game decisions with personnel? Drake May plays a series, then he's out. Jelani Tavai bench for a quarter because he hates all of you out there, the fans.
Hates the fans.
He shouldn't have played a snap. Not to spend a lot of time on this today, but like that guy shouldn't have played at all. No. He shouldn't be on the team.
Well, I guess when he made a play, the PA announcer said he made a tackle or whatever, and the pole place booed.
Nice.
Wow. So like,
that's what I saw.
So like 20% of the stadium booed.
Well, like, you know, the people who were there.
Fans.
The people who were in the house.
Nice.
That's pretty sweet.
I don't want to get sidetracked by that because we do have some news from Burt Breer.
All right. What do you got?
Burt Breer, source. The Patriots have put in a request to interview Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson for their head coaching job.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Like.
They're going to hire Vrabel.
It's going to be a sham interview. It's not going to be a real interview, but at least they are forced to do it. You have to do it. Because of the Rooney Rule, you have to do an interview process. I guess you don't have to interview Ben Johnson, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do the process. Good. Worst thing that happens is you talk to the guy, you get some ideas, and maybe you go into the meeting and go, wow, he's really interested in coming here. He really likes Drake May. Maybe we should think a little larger than just handing the job to Mike Vrabel, who was good in Tennessee, winning record, bunch of playoff appearances, went to the AFC title game, beat Bill and Brady in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do better, and we should think bolder than that. So that's good news. I'm not surprised by it, but that's according to Burt Breer. They have put in a request. Will he take the meeting? Will it go anywhere? We'll see. Mm-hmm. But that's a good start.
You know, and it's funny, because I've heard some people push back on Ben Johnson, who would be my number one choice if it was up to me.
Yeah, your 60-second plan. That's who you had, right?
1 minute, I fixed the Patriots, and it did involve them, I think, having the first pick, but regardless. Or maybe it didn't at the time, but it did have Ben Johnson. And anyway, some of the pushback I've seen is...
That actually was Wiggy, number one in Wiggy's plan, or at least one of his points was make sure you get the number one pick.
Or out the window.
I did not think about that with my plan. No. Stupid me.
I said draft Travis Hunter, which you still might, but let's get into that at another time. But one of the things I've seen as a pushback to Ben Johnson is, we just saw what a first-year head coach looks like. Are you scared to draft to bring in a first-year head coach? I say no.
Me neither.
First of all, every single coach ever has to be a first-year head coach at some point. That's how it works. But I also think Ben Johnson has been a coordinator for multiple years, something that Jerod Mayo wasn't. Ben Johnson has a very clear area of expertise, which Jerod Mayo didn't. You know, not every head coach does, right? Like Dan Campbell, which everybody wanted the Patriots to be, including Jelani Tavai. Dan Campbell didn't have one thing necessarily that was his thing, his calling card.
He's a leader of men.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, right? You don't want to run through a brick wall for him. That's fine. But Ben Johnson's out there making Jared Goff look like an MVP candidate. So, yeah, that's the guy that I want. Even though he's never been the head coach before, he's been an offensive coordinator. He loves calling plays. He was even asked about it this year. He's like, I will be a head coach who calls plays because that is my thing. That's what I love to do. So with him, the most important thing will be, all right, who's your defense coordinator? Because you have offense set. Like, you are going to come in here. You're going to run the offense. You now need to be, get somebody good to run the defense. Whereas if you hire Vrabel, okay, you have a guy who's run an operation before. I think that'll be night and day different. But then the very first immediate question is who's running your offense?
Yeah, look, I think there's merit to bringing in a guy who's done it before because Mayo was so ill-prepared. But because Mayo was terrible at it doesn't mean another rookie head coach will be terrible.
Yeah, there's been plenty. We went through them during the year. There's plenty of examples of first-year head coaches being very good, turning franchises around right away.
Sean McVay was awesome right away.
Immediately.
Right away he was good. So that's not a personal fear of mine, but experience is a check mark in Vrabel's favor. One thing I will say about your 60-second plan, Keith, that I was very dismissive of, I was like, Ben Johnson won't look at the Patriots. He won't take that job. Wrong. I think Ben Johnson would consider the job here. That doesn't mean it's his number one choice, but I think I underestimated how much the Patriots have, quote-unquote, going for them. When you have a high draft pick and Drake May and a lot of money to spend in free agency, if you're a coach looking for a clean start, this is a place to do that. So I was too dismissive of Ben Johnson. I would love him as a hire, and maybe I overlooked that when we made our plans before. Elliot Wolf spoke with Henry McKenna, Fox Sports. Elliot Wolf, who reportedly is, still employed by the Patriots.
Yeah.
And according to Tommy Curran earlier today, let me just get this wording right again. He anticipates the personnel department getting more time to right the ship and fix the roster. So it sounds like the Wolfpack remains here, unfortunately.
So these quotes that you're about to rip through, I thought were fake.
Ready?
Yes.
Yeah, I read them.
I thought they were fake.
They could have been fake.
Did somebody get it would have been a good Voland on Twitter or something? Like, what happened?
Would have been a good who said it if anybody knew what Elliot Wolf sounded like.
This is crazy. For a guy who, on a scale of A to F, a grading system of A to F.
Yeah.
Elliot Wolf's year one would be F.
F.
Plus. F plus.
Mayo is
Jack Drake May.
Mayo's an F or an F minus. Yeah. Wolf is an F or an F plus.
So let's get him thrown
D minus.
Let's throw. Yeah, that's a little. Don't be generous.
Much too
Daron Harmon.
So he did acknowledge that the offensive line is, quote unquote, an area we're certainly going to look to improve.
Is that right?
That's a good acknowledgement.
You're not going to run it back with this line next year?
He says, we're 3-13. This is before the game.
Mm-hmm.
So not good enough. Let's start there. Wolf told Henry McKenna, Fox Sports.
Okay.
We had a lot of needs. I would say that, I guess, personally, what I was expecting maybe a little bit more internal development. I was expecting maybe a little bit more internal development.
What a line. Basically, the coaching was trash.
Basically, I gave him good players, and the coach didn't know what to do with
them. Well, two things. He starts by ripping Belichick, by being like, we had a ton of holes to fill. Mm-hmm. Like, you were also a part of the staff.
We had a lot of needs. Good
we had a lot of needs. So, like, I took over a horrible situation, which you were also a part of.
You were in personnel.
Correct. So we had a horrible situation. That's out of my hands. I thought the coaching would be better, right? Like, that's insane. Like, okay.
He said, I thought there would be a little bit more internal development. Yep. It's a good lesson, certainly heading into next year.
Sure it is.
And that you can't always rely on that. So again, you can't rely on these coaches. The rookie receivers didn't have it really that much for us. Yeah, I guess not.
They didn't really have it that much. No, they did not.
And you know, Jalen Polk was sort of, in our estimation, a plug and play.
Amazing.
Ultimately, to answer your question, our record speaks for itself. We didn't do enough. But there you go. He still thinks Jalen Polk got ruined by the coaches.
No, but he says we didn't do enough. There's no him in there. There's no I in there.
No,
so basically,
true.
I took over a bad situation. The coaches were bad and the players were bad. Throw Jalen Polk on there. That's a cherry on top. We had bad players, bad coaches, and it was a bad situation. What about you?
Yeah.
What are you? You didn't say anything about yourself.
It's a little scary that he might survive.
He
should be out. So I would have fired Mayo. Mayo deserved to get fired.
Wolf should be gone.
So does this guy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so does our guy Van Pelt, Covington. Like, they all should get fired. Not firing all of them to me makes no sense.
It was a rough year.
It was pretty bad. There's no reason to bring any of these guys back.
It was a tough go.
Clean slate. Blow it up. I hope. They're just keeping Wolf around for appearances in the meantime. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Until they bring in a new head coach, he brings in a personnel guy, and then they blow out Wolf then. But he should absolutely lose his job. And that is a weasel comment by Elliot Wolf. I inherited a bad situation. I thought the coaches would coach these guys up more. Jalen Polk was plug and play. The coaches screwed it up. That's embarrassing. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on Elliot Wolf, his future. Mike Vrabel, is he the next guy? Gerard Mayo, blown out by the Patriots. Was it the right move? And was it because they screwed up the number one pick yesterday? Let's get into that with all your phone calls next.